Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Creator, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was so tired this morning, I put the handle on my iPad backwards. So, that's how we begin this morning. So your eyes open for the very first time, and you see unspeakable beauty, vibrant colors, diverse shapes, incredible movement. Waves of smells crash into you, overwhelming in their multiplicity, and every touch somehow shouts a new texture upon your skin. This place, somehow you know, is your home. You're sure of it, even though you've never been there before. There's literally nothing like you, and yet you find it all so majestic. Someone else, another, seems to know what's going on, what's happening, and this other invites you not just to experience this world, but to explore it, to become a part of it, to name it, because, well, no one else has named it yet. We don't know what to call these things, so this stuff that's moving in the air, let's call it a bird, but there's so many of them. So let's say only the ones with feathers are birds. We'll discuss the ones that buzz later, I'm sure. But there's so many different colors and shapes and sizes and sounds. Cardinal, canary, turkey, hummingbird, peacock, ostrich, dodo. I mean, it's Eden, right? All birds could fly at some point, maybe, I hope, for their sake. But still, something's not quite right. There's tons of companions, but there's still none like you. At least not until you wake up the next morning with a deep pain in your side and a friend, a partner, who matches you completely and yet is somehow everything that you are not. You find in this other not just the beauty of all creation that you've named, but the completion of your being, the fullness of your species, the wholeness of your creaturehood. And together, you're naked and yet not lustful. Vulnerable but not embarrassed, not ashamed, not afraid. You're courageous in this world that God has given to you. Adventure and community and courage. I think those things are the origins of our beings in the Garden of Eden. Adventure, because this place is a place of wonder that God created, and because God invites us to actually explore, to seek out the stuff that God has made, and to help create it by naming it, by actually describing it. Community, because we're called to be a part of the creation that we're naming and shaping. Called to be Adam, literally earth creature, and Eve, literally living. Adam and Eve aren't names that mean male and female, but names that mean we're literally the living dust of the earth together. And courage, because we're absolutely vulnerable. Nothing, not even clothing, is separating us from one another or from God. And yet we know nothing except excitement for the future that God's laid out for us. That's who we are created to be before sin enters the world, before we deny God's leadership and take fruit from those trees that are described and from which we're forbidden to eat. I don't know about you, but just like last week, that depiction, that image, is very alien from my experience. Rather than an adventure, most days feel like a sluggish slog through sludge. Not most days. Some days. Even in the things that I want to do, though, right? Not just the stuff that I don't want to do, but I can find myself overwhelmed in things that I love. Earlier this week, I was working on this sermon, and I love preaching. I was preparing for classes for the fall at NRCC and LR, and I love teaching. I was prepping for campus ministry at RU and NRCC, and I love campus ministry. Prepping for the Rough Draft Coffee House, and I love the arts and coffee and desserts. Who doesn't, right? And our speaker. I was prepping for Carowinds, and I told you all of my rediscovery of my love for roller coasters. But rather than find adventure in all of that, than find that joy of exploration, Monday I was just caught in this cycle of like being overwhelmed one second and bored the next. Indescribably, because there was so much to be happy for, to be joyful for, to be working toward. The adventure was there, literally all around me. And I was ignoring it. And I think the same can be true of our communities as well. How often, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, just think on this one, do we view people in our lives as burdens rather than blessings? Now, surely, some people can be just difficile. That's French for difficult. But some people are so difficult, they need another language to be described. And we can laugh at that stuff because it's true. But on the other hand, how often is their supposed difficulty more about our refusal to deal with conflict in a constructive way? Or our unwillingness to confront the differences that we have? To engage in genuine relationships and seek to make everyone together better? Will confess that I'm more likely to write people off than do that hard work on some days. And goodness, do we need courage in this world? When I say courage, I don't mean the kind of courage that it takes, for instance, to go to war, though that's certainly courage, when you're fighting an enemy that's not you, that's different from you. We need courage that it takes, like someone named Barb Brown, who is a friend, a mentor of mine, as she fought the cancer in her pancreas, because that enemy was her, not somebody else, but it's deep inside yourself. So often we want to ignore the things that are wrong with us, to blind ourselves to those things that want to pervert and distort us. And so we actually just let them pervert and distort us simply by not confronting them in the first place. But there are people like Barb who show us what Eden's courage is all about. When they found that cancer, it had already metastasized to her pancreas. It was over when it began. At least that's what we thought, because Barb's husband is a doctor, and we all know too well what words metastasized and pancreas mean. But rather than give up, Barb embodied courage for 14 months, valiantly facing tumors with determination. She held her grandchildren with a grip that sucked the life out of every single moment that remained. She would not let the nakedness of her cancer define her, or shame her, or let it separate her from her life. She died, but was not defeated, for her courage would not allow shame or fear to win the day. She commissioned an entire family into a new life of a supernova of courage, shining a light brightly, living, giving existential meaning that we could not have had without her. And that's so rare in our world today. Those glimpses of Eden before our eyes, where Barb's courage brought her closer to her community and led her to an adventure that she knew how it was going to end, and she lived it strongly and bravely anyway. That's the image of God at work in our lives, not Barb's strength on her own, but that original strength of Eden that God opens to all of us again because she believed in Eden more than she believed in death. Can we believe in Eden more than we believe in those things that strike fear into our hearts. Saints like Barb reveal to us God's glory even amidst such desperate circumstances. And they're incredibly rare in this world because of sin. When we talk about sin in this way, I'm not simply talking about breaking the rules or shaming someone into behaving in a particular way that is polite or nice. Sin at its core is a rebellion against our identity, against our nature as God gave it to us. Sin's work to separate us from Eden is real, but it is not irreversible. Now, some theologians will refer to this work of sin as total depravity. And this name can be a bit deceiving, because total depravity sounds like, well, game's over, totally done, totally lost. That's not what that means, because properly, theologians were trying to say that we are not irreparably broken, as though we're unrecognizably God's images. But instead, it means that every part of us, totally, is affected by sin. So our minds, our spirits, our bodies, our emotions, our relationships, everything's touched by sin. But that doesn't mean it can't be repaired. Imagine it this way. I just bring my laptop in here and I drop it on the floor, right? And every piece of it breaks. The screen, the keyboard, the hard drive, the motherboard, the touchpad. But it's still recognizably a computer, right? And someone, a computer engineer, can actually fix those things that are wrong with it. It's not as though I dropped it before you and then pummeled it into dust with a sledgehammer so that it was no longer repairable. Not even conceivably a computer. Total depravity is that kind of brokenness, that kind of, everything's hurt, but the game's not over. Our lives created in God's image are similar in this world, because every part of us is affected by sin, but that doesn't mean we're unrecognizable as God's images, as those people created out of the dust with the living breath of God in our lives. We're still called to a life of adventure and of community and of courage, but it no longer comes naturally to us. Because of that brokenness, it's just not as easy as it was in Eden. But the witness of Jesus is so important here. Jesus is important in church. Imagine that. Because we see in someone like Jesus the adventure of the ordinary. He lived every day along with these group of regular first century guys and gals and lived it to the full. Further than that, we see him embrace the community around him, even when they're selfish, like James and John seeking power. Lord, let us sit at your right and your left. Or even when they're arrogant, like Peter telling Jesus, no, Lord, you cannot die. Or even when they abandon him, as Judas does when he sells him for 30 pieces of silver. And while Jesus' only reported nakedness was on the cross, he lived a kind of naked life, I think. The kind of we see in the Gospels where a man is fully alive, fully authentic, fully showing himself, never hiding his true nature, but instead bearing it to the point where he is killed for it. That's courage. And if the story ended there, then we would not be here on Sunday mornings. We would be at brunch, which is what people who don't go to church do on Sunday mornings. That sounds delicious. But we can do that later. The glory of the resurrection means that rather than death killing adventure and community and courage, Jesus tore those things out of death's grip and returned them to us. That though we are depraved, though sin has touched our lives, we might once again grasp on to Eden and onto our identity as creatures created for God's purposes again. So the question for us is this: can you find adventure in the ordinary? Not just in riding roller coasters, which is super fun. But is there an adventure to be had on a quiet night at home, on a necessary trip to the grocery store, or an unexpected visit to the hospital? Can we embrace the community that God's given us even through the pain of losing something from ourselves, from our sides? I don't think I need to describe pain in relationship to you. But can we live that in a way that is holy? And can we have the courage to face our nakedness? No, Pastor is not encouraging a nudist colony here in Radford, I promise. But can we be vulnerable with one another? Can we remove all of the masks that we wear that separate us from one another and that we try to hide ourselves from God? The answer is yes, but not on our own strength. It's on the strength of the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, who comes into us in our baptisms, that reunites us with Jesus in this communion meal. That Spirit opens us to the adventure, the community, and the courage intended for us in Eden, just as that Spirit lived a life inside Barb that was inconceivable for 14 months. This will not feel natural at times, but hear this clearly. That's the lie. Not that it's unnatural, but the feeling is the lie. Because your nature, all of you, is to be the living dust of the earth created in the image of God. To be the ones naming creation on an adventure. To be in community with one another. The pain of community sometimes means losing a part of yourself to give life to someone else. The adventure of creation sometimes means searching out what's new and in need of a good name, even if you feel okay without it. The courage of creation means we can look sin and fear and cancer and a whole host of other things in the face and say, "You do not define us, because the work of Jesus Christ does." Our God's done this already. And we're being remade into that beautiful, wonderful image every single day. Mackenzie, give me the next slide for just a second. This is one of my favorite icons of creation. But you might notice that this is not Adam here. Because at the center of recreation is the new Adam, is Jesus Christ, who does this again in a way that will not be totally depraved. That's the first taste we have of recreation, of seeking what we were intended to be, and seeing that in Jesus, God is restoring us in that potential for courage and adventure and community. So in that element, receive this benediction. Find the adventure of Eden in your everyday lives. Embrace the community that God's given to you in its difficulty and its delight. Commit to courage and dive deeply into the world, authentically naked in your identity as a child of God. That's who we're meant to be. Amen.